Good morning again. If you'll turn in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles, to pages 14 and 15, we'll read in Genesis 19, 12 through 17, and 19 through 24. And if you're in the big print Bible, which is the red one, we're on pages 18 and 19. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-laws, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them to the place. For we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against his people has become great before the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his son-in-laws, who were to marry his daughters, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his son-in-laws to be jesting. Then the morning dawned, and the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you'll be consumed in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord began being merciful to him, and they brought him out and left him outside of the city. When they brought him outside, they said, "Flee for your lives. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills, or else you will be consumed." 19. "Your servant has found favor with you, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the hills, for fear the disaster will overtake me and I die. Look, that city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "All right, very well. I will grant you this favor too, and will not over the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." Therefore the city was called Zoar, and the sun has risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of the heavens. And he overthrew these cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. The word of the Lord. Be to God.
The gospel. It is the word of God for the people of God. If it is your tradition to stand and you are able and comfortable to do so, stand. Let us hear the word in our midst. Jesus gathered the disciples and he taught them and he said, "Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And if everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will you give it a snake? If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. Not you. I want to make sure and invite all of you to a bittersweet moment. Merritt Memorial United Methodist Church. How many of you have heard of Merritt? Not many. That's interesting. One last chance to see it. It will be closing. The church is diminished in size and it will be closing, and we are invited to participate in a closing service January 31st at 1:30 in the afternoon. So keep in mind that we might join our sister church as she changes. It is at 23rd and Irving. We'll have more information about that as we proceed, but the closing the church as it were and what it was into, and it may become something different, but that's up in the air. I hope it's all right with you if I stay in the pulpit. My knee is just, I have the measles. Thank you. I also have a stiff neck. Anybody else have a stiff neck? You get stiff necks? I'll tell you where I get my stiff neck. You see, you sit in the parking lot and you get in the car and you put on your seat belt and you get all started and then you get ready to back out. Well, you have to look to the left and then you look to the right and you looked in the left side rearview mirror and you look in the right side rearview mirror and then you look in the rearview mirror and then you have to look down at the camera. How many of you have those cameras, those backup cameras now? Boy, golly gee, I tell you what, all of that looking, my neck is just... Mark, are you struggling with sore? No? Not so much? You never look anyway, yeah. I have to tell you about Elizabeth Teal, a dear friend. We buried her at age 103. She drove till she was 101. Her husband had died 30 years earlier, and for those 30 years, she volunteered at the hospital in Greeley, drove 30-some-odd miles, 30, 40 miles every one way, every day, and volunteered there. She had one of those big old boat Buicks. There was not a panel on it that wasn't dented. And I drove next to her once on a four-lane road, and I looked and saw her next to her, and I waved and waved, and she had blinders on, and I think the car knew where to go for those 30 years. Elizabeth was wonderful, and she'd grown up in Johnstown, and she'd been there, and there's some other stories I'll tell you about her in the days that come, but when she would back out of a parking place, she'd get in her car, and she'd put on her seatbelt and start the car and put it in reverse and backed out. She did not have a stiff neck. She did not look. You looked out for Elizabeth. It was the rule in the church, and it was the rule on the street. When Elizabeth was there, everyone just prepared. So, Mark, you're not alone, you know. Elizabeth is right with you. That was actually in my sermon, I didn't segue too far. I put the backup camera in my car. It wasn't there originally, but I thought, what a great idea, because one of my phobias is backing over a small child or something, and so I'm always worried about that. But I put the camera in, but I added one little feature. I have a switch. And normally, your backup camera, it turns on when you put it in reverse, right? You put it in reverse, and the camera comes on to show you what's back there. Well, I have a little switch so I can turn it on whether I'm going backward or not. It's kind of fun. I was driving down Peoria, and I turned it on, and I'm watching the cars behind me. It was pretty neat. And I'm driving along, and it suddenly dawned on me, I wasn't watching where I was going. I was watching where I'd been. I said, Elizabeth, I'm coming to meet you. You heard Diana. She's talking about Lot's wife. She looked back. That's that neck. See, you see, I'm tying it all together now. Are you proud of me? They're going to destroy the city. And there's good news here. They're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be completely annihilated. And God takes those good people and cares for them and takes them out before that devastation. That's good news for us. And there might be a whole theme there, but that's not today's theme. They tarry. They tarry. Did you hear that in the scripture as Diana was reading it? They warn them, the angels warn them, you need to get out. But Lot lingered, is what it says. And bring them out of this place, for we're about to destroy it. But he's lingering there. None of us ever linger anywhere, do we? There might be a whole theme there, but that's not today's theme. Okay. The angels are not deterred. Well, that's more good news. The men seize the angels, men, seize Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought them out of the city and left them outside the city. That is really good news. Even when they tarried, when they lingered, when they procrastinated, the angels took them by the hand and led them out. God is persistent. There's a good theme for today, but that's not today's theme. They tell them to flee to the hills. Did you hear that part that Diana read? It says, flee to the hills, and Lot responds, you've shown me great kindness in saving my life, but I cannot flee to the hills, for fear the disaster will overtake me and I will die. There's a piece in here, and we're not terribly privy to it, and this piece of the text doesn't flesh it out very well. But you see, Lot lives in the valley with the urban people. And out there, there's those hill people, and they're those other ones. And Lot said, don't make me go out there. I'm afraid of those other strange people that live in the hills. They're different than we are. They're not like us. They're not like Aurorites. They're Hillites. There was a joke there if you're catching up with me. Come on. But they're different from us. And he says, please don't let me go. It will be dangerous to me. And they are reassured. It's okay. It's okay. I will take care of you, but flee to the hills. Do not stop. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills or else you will be consumed. Yes, that's today's theme. Here we are now. So what an interesting passage. Not only is Lot in the city and he's comfortable there. Any of us get comfortable in our ways? And he's so comfortable that, oh, even though he knows these angels come and they're going to rain down fire and brimstone and lava and everything nasty you can think of and destroy the city, turn it to ash, he lingers, procrastinates, he waits. It's hard sometimes to take what we have always done and change it. And here it is, time to do that. And he doesn't want to go to those strange new place. He doesn't want to go up to those hills people, those outsiders, those different ones than the way he's always done things. It's a huge leap for them. Any of us mired in our place? Any of us get comfortable? It's funny, even though sometimes it's not a good place, we stay there because it's comfortable. Isn't it odd about humanity that way? About all things. But think about that, and I want you to think a moment about what parts of how things have always been. That view in the rear view mirror camera, that screen that we look at looking out the back window. Think about how we do that in our lives. Are there years in your life or in your past that you stay looking at? I remember once upon a time, and this is a true story, I was 25 and I had all black hair. And it wasn't coming out here as much, and it was solid up here. There was not this beautiful little glowing spot at that time. And at that point, I was in college. I worked on the stage. I was the production stage manager in the theater. And every day we had to hoist scenery up and down, and my arms had gotten, they looked like Nalu's. You know, check Nalu's arms out sometime. He hauls packages for UPS all day. He could pick up one of each of us and do, you know. I've seen your arms, Nalu. I know this is true. But I had arms like that, and I could run up a rat line hand over hand. I mightn't be able to with an elevator today. But I look back and I think, oh, those were the good old days. And some piece of that holds on to me. What piece of that holds on to me that prevents me from being where we are today? 2013, I lost both of my parents within 3 weeks of each other. And we had never lost anyone in our family. And so for them both to pass within in the same month in 2013, it kind of made it for a bad month. And I can dwell on that, and I can stop and think of all the things I wanted to talk with my parents about before they left. And I can still talk to them, but I'm not hearing them as well as I did over the phone. And I can think about how that was a difficult year, and I can get immobilized. I can end up getting stuck. I can end up loitering. So I want you to think about that for a moment. As we go on, I'm gonna. Your assignment here, with your subconscious, while you're listening to the sermon, is what years, both good and bad, in your past, are holding you back. I want to tell you about the story about Eurydice and Orpheus. This is Lot, and looking back on all this. This is one of the Greek myths. Julian Pond wrote it up very nicely. But Orpheus is the son of the Olympian god Apollo, and so he has a gift of music. I mean, he is just gifted musician. Dawn and Peggy are gifted, but I mean, he was part god, so he was a little above you too. I hate to break it to you. But I mean, when you're, you know, one of your parents is a god, he had just a beautiful ability with music. Fell in love with Eurydice, and they were just terribly in love. She was terribly in love with him, and it was all wonderful. And she was bitten by a snake and died. And immediately went down into the underworld, the world of the dead, ruled over by Hades. Well, Orpheus refused to allow this to be the case, and he went to Hades, and Hades is a pretty tough character to deal with, and nobody can talk Hades into or out of anything, but he is such a wonderful musician that he both sang to him and pleaded with him and convinced him to let him go, let Apollo go and find his beloved and bring her out of Hades, out of the underworld. And he agreed, but there was one condition. You can't look back at her. She'll follow you out, but under no condition can you look back. Julian Pond's words, it was a long way back, and just as Orpheus had almost finished that last part of the trek, he looked behind him to make sure Eurydice was still with him. At that very moment, she was snatched back. So we hear musics of forlorn love. It is Orpheus making plaintive songs for his beloved Eurydice. So that myth of not looking back, he couldn't wait to make sure she was safe. The last part of the journey, it was becoming so imminent that he turned and looked back. Here is what Diana wrote. Then the Lord overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot's wife behind him looked back and became a pillar of salt. There are pictures, if you look it up on the internet or in a Bible dictionary, there are pictures in the plains of salt pillars on the plains there. And they say that one of these is Lot's wife. Well, I think it's more of an illustration than more of a metaphor than a historical event. But it's one that needs to speak to us clearly. It's one that needs to be in the middle of what we're thinking about, because I cannot drive down Peoria by looking in the screen for my rearview camera, because it doesn't tell me where I'm going. It tells me where I've been. We are the same sets of people. I have to acknowledge the Reverend Doctor that preached for us last week, and this is part of her sermon too. She, Dr. Val, talking about you got to let go of last year. You've got to let go of that. You've got to move on. This is 2016 now. And I'm reminded of the movie Lion King. The lion, the play, the movie. You familiar with? How many of you know that one? Simba, you recall, he goes off and he lives with the two screwball characters. And they have a wonderful song. Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful... Okay, that's enough of my singing for now, isn't it? And he's contemplating his past as he grows up. And he's out on the prairie. Do you remember that scene? And there's the monkey there, the baboon, the whatever he is, the ape-like creature. He's the priest in the movie. Think about it a minute. He's the one with the wisdom. He's recording. He's predicting. He's consulting the greater than. But he says to him, he says, my father is gone. And Rafiki takes a stick and whacks him on the head. And he says, why did you do that? He says, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. It's behind us. And he laughs. Now, I don't think I'm going to get away with whacking any of you on the head with a stick and saying, don't worry about it, it's in your past. But the Dr. Val, Reverend Dr. Valerie Jackson, was saying the same thing too, and that is, those years are history. But we don't live in history, we live in the now and the what will be, the 2016. The New Testament passage, Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Those are not past tense phrases. Those are present and future phrases. Ask and it will be given you. It's not ask, and we already told you that in chapter 3 back on page 26 when you were a senior in high school. The future is here and now, and where we are going and what we are about is what will be. Search and you will find Knock, and the door will be open to you. Or would you rather be a pillar of salt? Contemplate that thought. Contemplate what that is about, that we are not who we were, and we are becoming something else, and God is in the midst of directing that. Think on that as we turn to communion.